That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to That Money Show, live on FUBAR Radio with me, Gabriel, That Money Guy, here to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to make you better with your money. A simple task, it sounds like, but one that I take complete pride in doing every single Monday at 4 o'clock, and I have yet to fail at such task. We do a lot of things every single week. We break down the news in the economy. I don't know if anyone has been, you know, touching any news platform over the past week or so, but there should be one word on your mind right now, and that is the budget. We will be going hard, fast, and deep into everything that has gone on in the budget, and I will also bring in a range of experts, personality, famous faces, personal finance experts to share their own advice, their own stories, and their own experiences to make you better with money. And this week we've got Timmy Merriman Johnson, aka Mr. Money Jar, a content creator, and David Arnold, the policy officer at Unison. But let's start off with actually guest number one, because joining me right now is Adam French, the senior editor at NerdWallet, to talk with me about the budget. Adam, how are you doing? Welcome to That Money Show.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm doing really well, considering the madness that was last week and dealing with the budget. I had a nice restful weekend afterwards.
I was going to say, the madness that was, I think it's the madness that still is. I mean, I'm still digesting it. I don't know about you if you've managed to get through the entire thing, because unfortunately Rachel Reeves' speech was just scratching the surface compared with everything else.
Well, as always with the budget, it's often what's not in there that really matters. So I'll give you an example. One thing I was quite keenly listening out for is any potential reforms for child benefit, for example. That's something the previous Conservative government said they were going to do, mm-hmm. to try and change some of the bandings around that in particular. No mention of that whatsoever throughout the speech, and only when you get the paperwork afterwards, as it turned out, that's been kicked into the long grass for the foreseeable, and nothing's really going to be changing there for at least a year, if not more.
Absolutely. So to bring listeners up to speed, the change we were hoping for was something that was more factored around a dual salary. So both partners within a relationship having some kind of combination of those to adjust whether or not you get child benefit. But it is still based on one parent being over the threshold to decide whether or not you get a child benefit. And like Adam just mentioned, that is not changing, even though the Conservatives were looking into it. But of course, the Conservatives no longer have a say. Well, they've got a say, but much less so of what they did.
I'm sure they'll still make plenty of noise.
Oh, and they did during the budget. I don't know if you were watching the entire hour and a half speech by Rachel Reeves, but they made a noise. I mean, I don't know if this is worth starting on, because I know it's probably the least important part, but do you know what the loudest roar of the entire speech went to?
No, I'd love to know.
1p. Off your pint at the pub.
Of course.
You can really see our ministers, our MPs, really care about the important things.
Straight to the bar in Westminster, counting those pennies.
Exactly. But maybe we should take a look at some of the important stuff, some of the things that are actually affecting people. Not that 1p off a pint isn't affecting people, but, you know, not everyone drinks. Let's stick that. Dry January right around the corner. So starting off with things around wages, benefits, pensions, what did happen, what didn't happen? Well, I think the most prevalent one was the change to minimum wage. Now, this does tend to change most years, but it was quite a big change, wasn't it, this year?
Oh, yeah, it was a really big jump, sort of over 6%. We're now seeing the living wage for people aged 21 and over going from £11.44 an hour to £12.21 an hour. And I think a really positive move, actually, was the minimum wage has always been lower for those aged 18 to 20. And that's going up from £8.60 to £10 an hour. And one thing Rachel Reeves said very clearly was the aspiration is now, over time, to bring those two salaries in line with one another, so you'll no longer effectively be penalised for being under the age of 21. And personally, I've always felt that quite unfair. You're doing the same job, you should be paid the same. I know businesses offer different arguments, but that's really positive news. But there is a catch to this. Now, there is an organisation which looks at the real living wage, which is how much we should be paid to maintain our living standards, for example, how much it costs to live in certain parts of the country. Okay. And this increase is still, unfortunately, a little bit short of where they believe salaries should be. So their real living wage is actually £12.60 an hour. So we're still a little bit short. And actually, that figure is even higher in London, for example, where they're saying that actually you're more likely to be around £2.60 an hour short if you're living in London and on that minimum wage at the moment. So whilst it's really good news, I've certainly seen plenty of people talking on the radio that actually the increase is welcome, but it's still not going quite far enough considering how much the cost of living has increased in recent years.
Got it. So it's good news, but it could do better. I feel like that's going to be maybe our response to quite a few things.
I think we'll come back to that theme a lot. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe I should have got that one pre-recorded and I could have just hit a button whenever something along those lines. I mean, there's some stuff that's bad news, but it could have been worse. A lot of taxes on the up, especially for consumers or personal taxes, as we like to call it. Which one do you want to kick off with? I'll let you have a go this time.
So tax thresholds is a real bugbear of mine. Now, this isn't a tax increase in obvious terms.
It's not an active change.
Not an active change, but the lack of action ultimately results in us paying more tax. So everything you earn up to 12, just over 12, 12 and a half grand is tax-free. Then you pay 20% between that and just over 50 grand a year. And then everything over 125 grand, you're paying 45% tax rate. That's the way it works at the moment. And it has been at those thresholds since 2021.
Yes.
Those thresholds haven't moved with inflation. So whilst the cost of everything's gone up, hopefully salaries have gone up as well, you're still getting taxed at the same thresholds, which means more and more of us are paying more of a share of tax on our income. And as you get a pay rise and say you knock over into that 60 grand pot, for example, you may then be paying additional tax as well. So your marginal tax rate will go up on everything you earn over that. So that is a slow process we call fiscal drag. And that ultimately means over the years, you pay more and more tax. Now, I crunched the numbers on this. On the Bank of England have a very handy tool on its website, which is the inflation calculator. So it'll show you how much your money was worth.
I love numbers.
In 2021 and how much it's worth now. So if these thresholds had risen with inflation over the last 3 years, that 12 and a half grand threshold should actually be more like 15. That 50 grand threshold should be more like 60. That £125,000 should be more like £150,000. And looking at it, that means if you're on a £30,000 a year salary, you're probably paying £500 a year more just in income tax alone than you would be if it had risen with inflation. If you're on £60,000 a year, you're probably paying closer to £2,500 more in income tax than you would have been if thresholds had risen with inflation.
This is really significant. Yeah.
It's a lot of money when you start to do the maths, unfortunately, but it doesn't grab headlines in the same way that a tax hike would.
No.
It's that lack of action that ultimately means you're paying more tax. Now, give Labour credit. They have said that they will get rid of this freeze in 2028. The freeze was set in place by the old Conservative government as well. But up until then, we're all going to be steadily paying more tax.
Yeah. And do you want to know?
In a quiet way.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you want to know a few funny things I found about this? Because obviously, this was actually kind of Labour's hurrah during the entire speech. It was, we aren't extending the freeze like the newspapers were rumouring us to have done so. So in other words, we've leaked that we were considering it. We're not actually going to change something. So well done to us. Like you said, this was a freeze put in place by the Conservatives. But Labour had as much power as they wanted to unfreeze the freeze. Why this is such a clever tax, let's say, from a government's perspective, is like you mentioned, it's a passive tax. By not doing something, you are paying more tax. And most people don't even consider it or think about it in the first place. But some people are saying that Labour's promise to not increase income tax could kind of work against this. Because whilst they're not doing anything, income tax technically increases. Or like you said, the percentage of your salary that goes towards an income tax does increase, because for the average person, let's say their salary just rises in line with inflation, their salary in real terms hasn't changed, it's actually got worse, like you mentioned.
Absolutely.
So that is a real biggie, and one that we hoped would change, but like we said, they actually spun it in a positive way. Not quite sure how they got away with that.
It's quite interesting, isn't it? We've seen a bit of that trailing the worst case scenario in advance of the budget. So actually, when it was announced, I was relieved that it wasn't being extended. We saw something similar with capital gains tax, which is a tax you pay on the profit you make when you sell assets like shares, for example, or investments you made in art, for example, is another one that could fall in this category. When you make a profit of more than £3,000, you start to tick into paying tax on that. Now, it's been bought in line with how much you pay on if you had second property, for example. So if you're a basic rate taxpayer, it's going to be 18%. If you're a higher rate taxpayer, it'll be 24%. Now, this tax grabs a lot of headlines, particularly in the financial press, because obviously people with money are more interested in it. Very few people ever pay capital gains tax. So last tax year, 0.65% of taxpayers paid this tax.
Wow.
So not many of us will ever have to worry about it. But we saw in advance of the budget much higher percentages being thrown around. There was talk of a 39% rate of tax, for example, on
this. Yeah, we saw it could have been in line with income tax bands as well at some point.
Imagine a simplified tax system.
That would be something. The mind boggles.
We've seen that exact tactic play out again, where actually when they announced the rises that came in, it didn't quite feel as bad, and a few people were probably a bit relieved.
As I've only got you for a few more minutes, there's two more that I actually want to throw past you that weren't really too heavily picked up during the speech, but are quite impactful. Number one is pensions are now being formed part of your inheritance tax as of 2027. That's a biggie. And the other one I want to talk to you is about stamp duty threshold returning back to what they were. I'll let you pick again between those two. Which one do you think is more juicy to dive into?
I mean, the inheritance tax one's interesting purely because we're waiting for money to pass down from generations, a lot of us, right? That's the grim truth of things at the moment.
It is.
Pensions being included could be quite a big deal. So you pay a 40% rate of inheritance tax on everything over a certain threshold. So you actually, per individual, have £325,000 you can pass down, plus another £175,000 if that's property and it's passing down to your children or grandchildren. As a couple, you can pull that together as well. Ultimately, you could pass on £1 million tax-free in theory. Now, pensions being included is quite a big deal because when you hit your 60s, generally speaking, you've got quite a lot of money saved for your retirement. And if the worst happens and someone passed away before they started spending that money, that could tip a lot of people over into paying IHT that they aren't necessarily expecting. Looking at the numbers from the ONS that were a couple of years ago, on average, a man in his 60s has almost £230,000 in their pension pot, a woman in the 60s, 150,000. Obviously, those numbers will go up in the coming years as people save more, inflation goes up, money goes up, for example. That has a potential quite big knock-on impact when you consider also house prices go up constantly all the time as well. So more people may now start to need to plan for inheritance tax than they maybe thought they did.
And as part of, I suppose, the theme of the day, Rachel Reeves kind of spun it as a good thing again, right? We are freezing inheritance tax bans further past 2028 until 2030. And then we actually dive into it and we're like, Wait a second.
Hang on a second. There's a big change there. But again, it's ultimately, the money has to come from somewhere.
It does.
This is going to come from those with the broader shoulders, potentially, and money that's locked up in pensions they don't directly have use for either. But ultimately, it does mean when people are planning for how much money they can give to their children and grandchildren, it can have a considerable knock-on effect. I know a lot of people will previously have prioritised spending other assets over their pension, thinking they could pass it on, and that may change the calculation now for a few older people.
Adam, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it. If you can leave people with one sentence or two sentences off the back of the budget, what would you say to them?
Taxes are going up, but ultimately someone has to pay them.
In other words, it probably is going to come out of your paycheck at some point, way, shape, or form. subtle.
I'm glad I'm not a business off the back of it. They seem to have had more of the tax burden this time rather than us as individuals. So maybe it's a blessing for us, really.
Well, there we go. Adam, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. All right. Well, there you go. That was Adam from NerdWallet sharing a few of the details from the budget. It was a big budget, so I would recommend if you are interested doing one of two things. You can go and read all 150 to 200 pages that have been printed, or you can stick around because after this break, we're going to continue talking about it. I'd go with the second option.
FUBAR Radio.
What the hell with Gabby Allen.
Three words to describe yourself.
Weird, funny, and quirky. I'm a strange guy.
Oh, I love that. That's good. Not many men would say that. Normally they're like, yeah, strong.
No, that's, you know what? That's what people think I'm going to be. Like, they see, like, the gym and the muscles and the tattoos, and they think I'm going to be, like, this, like, serious, like, fuckboy, like, lad. You know what I mean? And then they meet me, and I'm like a Jim Carrey. I'm like a muscly Jim Carrey.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
It's the sound of your mates alive. It's getting to more gigs this year and the next. It's the sound of saying, I got you, mate. It's the sound of mates enjoying even more of this. It's the sound of mates getting home instead of here. Click your seatbelt because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
What's going on in the DMs? Are you getting naughty pictures from fans? Girls, are you getting the odd little pic? I bet they're popping the DMs.
Yeah, the DMs are doing all right. I've got a lot of cousins, big family, so they're all touching base.
Yeah.
There's a few girls in there as well. I've had some fruity videos come through.
Oh, so, tell us a little bit more.
You want to go there?
Yeah, we're going there. Access All Areas, mate.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think he said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
Making personal finance simpler with Gabriel Nussbaum. This is That Money Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to That Money Show, live on FUBAR Radio with me, Gabriel, That Money Guy. And joining me now is Timmy Merriman-Johnson, or as I like to call him, Mr. Money Jar, a personal finance influencer, a professional financial expert, I would like to call him, fully qualified, here to talk to me all things budget. I told you if you stuck around till after the break, we would talk more about the budget, and I'm holding that promise true. Timmy, how you doing?
I'm very good, Gabriel. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I am doing very well. I hope you are ready to talk all things budget. I assume that's the only thing you've been talking about for the past few days anyway.
Yeah. It's been really interesting. Not just reading about it myself, but how interested I just think like the general public is. I was at a birthday party yesterday and the adults at the table were just talking about taxes. So yeah, I think people like you and me are very much in fashion at the moment.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen a more hotly anticipated budget than this one. I will admit, I'm not that old, so I haven't been around for that many budgets. But this one just seemed to be the rage of town. And whether for better or for worse, ultimately, I do think it's got people more aware of their personal finances.
Yes, absolutely.
Like you said, taxes isn't that fun to talk about, especially at a dinner party.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason why this budget was so anticipated is because we've just had 14 years of the Conservatives being in power. Labour took the mantle earlier this year. Rachel Reeves is the first female chancellor to read a budget as well. So there were lots of kind of firsts with it. Mm. And in terms of how the decade has gone since the 2020s, it's been quite tough financially. You know, we've had COVID, we've had the war in Ukraine, the cost of living crisis after that, and we're now trying to genuinely rebuild the country and recover from it.
That we are indeed. And not just that, I think in absolute terms, it was the largest ever tax raise, £40 billion worth of tax being raised by Rachel Reeves. I just did hear, though, percentage-wise, in terms of, you know, actual government budget and all that kind of stuff, it was pipped by the 1993 budget by a few percentage points, but still pretty big in terms of the amount of taxes that are being raised. And I think one hot topic of conversation that I'd love to dive into you is national insurance. Because whilst a lot of, let's say, normal employees, think that this one isn't going to affect them. This is a part, you know, there's national insurance that's paid by you, the worker, and then also by you, the company. This one was actually passed on to the company to pay on behalf of each of their employees. So it went up from 13.8% to 15%. The threshold also went down from £9,100 to £5,000. But the OBR have come out saying it's not going to be as friendly to employees as initially thought.
No. So essentially, we had this £22 billion black hole, which I personally wouldn't characterize as a black hole, firstly, because the government spends, well, rounding down, £1 trillion per year. So every £10 billion amount is 1%. So we're talking about 2% of overall government spend. Still a lot of money, but a small amount in terms of overall government spend. We had that kind of shortfall in the public finances, which Labour said was left to them, which the Conservatives said that they didn't leave. We'll just leave that to one side. And so Labour found themselves in the position where they had to raise money, in particular for the NHS, which is a very important public service that they have and one which is struggling. If anyone's tried to get an appointment or be seen, I'm sure that we're all aware of that.
Absolutely.
And so they had to find a way to raise money in taxes to be able to spend for the year ahead. And they had two choices. They could either tax people directly or they could tax businesses. And any government that, you know, just, you can just imagine a headline, your income taxes will be going up, your NI will be going up, your VAT will be going up. No government wants to be in the position to do that. And so they chose to tax businesses. So every month, your business needs to pay a tax called employers national insurance, and as Gabriel just said previously, they would have to pay the equivalent of 13.8% of your salary on amounts over £9,100. From the 6th of April 2025, that threshold has fallen to £5,000, and the percentage paid has increased to 15%. And I got my Excel spreadsheet out and did a little bit of sums, and
let's do the numbers
on the average salary of about £37,000, you're looking at about £950 extra per year for employers,
which is quite a lot of money.
Yeah, just to keep that person in the same position on the same salary. So my and what they also did was they raised the employment allowance.
I was going to say, it's an important caveat for sure for the smallest of businesses. Yes.
So they will be shielded, and it allows you to mitigate your national insurance liability. They raised that from £5,000 mitigation to £10,500. But in reality, if the government needs to raise money, that money must necessarily come from the people in some way, shape or form. So the businesses are going to pay the extra £950, for example. And if they don't sell, I don't want to come at this from a zero sum kind of way. Businesses could have a bumpy year next year and they could make loads of extra money and then they could pay the tax, no problem. But if they don't, then that £950 is either going to have to come out of that person's future pay growth, or is going to have to be paid for through higher prices of products and services. So no matter which way you slice it, everyday people, you know, there are 30 million payrolled employees in the country and millions of businesses. So everyday people are going to have to pay for that in some way. And they pretty much admitted that the day after the autumn budget.
Yeah, I don't think there's any kind of way to, you know, go around the topic other than what you said. Businesses are businesses. They have a bottom line. They have a profit they're trying to keep. They have, you know, profit and loss and all that kind of stuff, expenses, etc. And ultimately, a business isn't just going to go, hey, we'll absorb, we got this, guys. We'll yeah. cover that extra tax. Businesses yeah. are going to look at this from two ways. We can either increase the prices on the things we sell, i.e. we want to make more profit to cover this, or we can do things with our employees, which means, you know, firing some, getting rid of some, not hiring as many the next year, not increasing wages as much, reducing bonuses and extras and all this kind of stuff, which is going to have knock-on effects.
But as I said, we don't want to be zero-sum about it. You know, like, that's not necessarily the way money works. Like, if you make more money, if you offer more value through your products and services, then you can cover the bill. The thing that's tricky is that in the Office for Budget Responsibilities report, which is published a lot, which is published alongside autumn budgets, there is, I think, 2 years of economic growth next year and the year after, and then no more economic growth until the end of the decade. So if taxes are going to go up, that's fine. Pretty much all of that national insurance rise is going to go straight to the NHS, 22 mm-hmm. billion. But higher taxes in the absence of economic growth just means less money in people's pockets at some point downstream from that.
Absolutely. And I had a look at the OBR report as well, and they think that as of April 2025, when this effect actually comes into place, 60% immediately will be passed on to workers via some of the routes that we were discussing before. But they estimate in the long term, that's actually going to go up as high as 80%. So governments are only going to kind of swallow about 20% of that responsibility themselves. And like we said, obviously, the government, Labour government in particular, are still going to prefer the that headline of, you know, we're putting up employers' national insurance rather than saying we are upping your national insurance, especially seeing as it was part of their manifesto to not do so. Oh, my own personal humble opinion, maybe they could have just reversed the changes that were done about 6 months earlier, but who am I to say?
I think it's, look, we now live in the social media information age. And if you say there is a £22 billion pothole in our finances, that's not going to get to the headlines in the same way that a black hole is. If you say we're raising your taxes directly, optically, that's going to look a lot worse than saying you're going to raise taxes on business. But I think because of the work that people like you and me do, people are actually becoming smarter about this stuff, and they're realizing, okay, if this goes up over here, this is going to go down over there. What I'll say to everyone is, that's what's happening in the macro. When it comes to the micro, when it comes to your personal finances, the same things still apply of earning as much money as you possibly can, you know, spending in a responsible way, saving and investing your surplus cash, all those same things still apply. And hopefully we can see brighter days ahead. And hopefully this is an initial raise of cash, which will then be followed by the growth this country needs.
Let's hope so. Timmy, I've literally only got you for another minute or so, so I would like to just ask you one final question, which is there anything you were slightly disappointed by with this budget, something you were expecting or were wanting for that didn't quite come, or it wasn't part of the 100 and something pages that were actually presented after the end of Rachel's speech?
There was nothing else disappointed by. We are recovering from a global pandemic, from a war on the continent, and from a period of double-digit inflation following that. Really serious things have happened, and we paused the economy and we printed a lot of cash to get people through that. So that's the context from which we're dealing with. I just want to see more growth. So generally speaking, the more money in businesses' pockets, the more money they have to play with to grow. So I hope this is an initial first raise, which will then lead to something a bit more sustainable in years ahead.
Timmy, quickly, slightly away from the budget, there is news today of a potential, well, a guaranteed rise to student fees. They were actually meant to be announced about 15 minutes ago. They are yet to be announced, but what's your kind of general opinion on tuition fees going up for students?
I think I'm going to do a piece on content on this. I think Martin Lewis has spoken about this topic really well in the past. I think student loans are massively misunderstood, because even though they're called loans, the way that they're structured is that one in the April after you leave university, you pay 9% over a given threshold much in the way that you pay income tax or even national insurance. The overall amount that you owe is immaterial on that, because it's like if you earn above a certain amount, you're just paying the 9% on that bit that you earn over the certain amount.
Yeah.
People on higher salaries who can pay off their student loan in full may pay more back overall. But a lot of people, the government has like an error rate and has a percentage of people that they don't expect to pay the loans back. They just pay it. And then after 25, 30, 40 years, it's wiped. So yeah, again, people like us, we just need to communicate more how it actually works.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think my call to action there is go and check out Timmy's page on social media, Mr. Money Jar, who's going to be presenting his thoughts on, well, this potential rise coming, well, anytime now. Anyway, Timmy, thank you so much for your time. And like I said, go and check out his page.
Thanks for having me, Gabriel.
No problem. All right, there we go. There you've had it. We'll stick around, because after this short break, I'm going to be joined by David Arnold, the policy officer at Unison.
FUBAR Radio.
What the Health with Gabby Allen.
Three words to describe yourself.
Weird, funny, and quirky. I'm a strange guy.
Oh, I love that. That's good. Not many men would say that. Normally they're like, yeah, strong.
No, that's, you know what? That's what people think I'm going to be. Like, they see, like, the gym and the muscles and the tattoos, and they think I'm going to be, like, this, like, serious, like, fuckboy, like, lad. You know what I mean? And then they meet me, and I'm like a Jim Carrey. I'm like a muscly Jim Carrey.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
What's going on in the DMs? Are you getting naughty pictures from fans? Girls, are you getting the odd little pic? I bet they're popping the DMs.
Yeah, the DMs are doing all right. I've got a lot of cousins, big family, so they're all touching base.
Yeah.
There's a few girls in there as well. I've had some fruity videos come through.
Oh, so, tell us a little bit PG. More.
You go there?
Yeah, we're going there. Access All Areas, mate.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think he said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
That Money Show on FUBAR Radio with Gabriel Nussbaum.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to That Money Show, live on FUBAR Radio with me, Gabriel, That Money Guy, here to make you better with your money. And I am actually going to do exactly that right now with Money Tip of the Week. Well, that's the time of every week where I give you one short, practical piece of guidance, some knowledge that I've pulled out from, well, my brain, and share it with you so you can actually do something to be better with your money. I normally say right now, but like there's still a bit of the show to go, so finish listening to the show, you know, enjoy the rest of it. It's a good show. It'll make you even better than your money than just this one tip will. But then after that, go and take action. And this week's tip of the week is all to do with, can you guess? Yeah, it's the budget. Obviously, everything's going to be budget related this week. You guys should really know that by now. And it's three things in particular, three actions that you can take right now, depending on your current circumstances, to, I would say, protect yourself from some of the rises to tax. Let's kick them off in no particular order. Capital gains tax. If you've been listening to this show so far, you will know that the lower rate of capital gains tax has gone up from 10 to 18%, and the higher rate has gone up from 20 to 24%. But it's only happening from April. So what can you do in the meantime? Well, for one example, or one of the key ways that most people are going to have capital gains taxed on them is with investments. Now, if you own things like stocks and shares and funds, then you will be taxed when you sell them. And the tax is called capital gains tax. But one thing you can do is move that money inside of an ISA, in particular, a stocks and shares ISA. Now, putting it inside of a stocks and shares ISA means that you actually don't end up paying tax on the gains. Everyone in the UK gets a £20,000 ISA allowance per year. So that would be step number one, to protect yourself against capital gains prior to the actual change that happens. Step number two, national insurance. If you are a business owner, in particular, a small business owner, please make yourself aware of the employment allowance and how it protects you against this national insurance rise. So how does it work? Well, the first £10,500 of national insurance as of April, you do not have to pay that liability. So let's say you only hire one person or two people and your national insurance total bill for the year is £10,000. You don't actually have to pay it, okay? It's up to £10,500. It's going up from £5,000. Another good important thing to know. And lastly is, for all of you people out there considering either moving property or getting onto or getting into your first property sometime in the next, let's say, 3 to 6 months, especially if you're in the process, maybe you had a bid accepted, this is my call to action: get a move on. Because as of April, the amount you will pay in stamp duty is set to go up. You want to hear some figures to scare you off? Let me give you some figures. If you're a first-time property owner and you are buying a property over £425,000, you will be paying £6,250 more. That's if your property costs somewhere between £425,000 and £500,000. If the property you're looking to buy costs between £500,000 and £625,000, you could be paying over £10,000 more in stamp duty. And finally, if your property costs over £625,000, you could be paying over £2,500 more in stamp duty. And if you're just a normal, regular person looking to move property, if you buy it before April, you will save yourself a whopping £2,500 if your property is worth over £250,000. There you go. Three quick ways to save yourself some money and prepare yourself for the budget, or the budget that's already happened. Anyway, joining me right now on the show is David Arnold, the policy officer at Unison, to once again discuss all things the budget. David, welcome to That Money Show. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. Thanks for the invite. It's great to be here on this rather autumnal afternoon. Good to see you.
Autumnal is one way to put it. I've just taken a look outside the window and it basically looks like it's the middle of the night and it's 4:30 or so. I'd love to dive straight in with how does Unison view the overall budget, or maybe even your own personal views on how the budget went?
Yeah. So, I mean, Unison, it's a public sector union, public services union. We represent people in the health service, in local government, in schools, people who work for the police as well, and people who work in utilities. And in different parts of education, in HE, FE, and schools as well. So a really, really widespread of members, really. And obviously, we've been thinking about what this budget means for the sectors in which our members work. And very broadly, you know, we welcome it. It's a clear break with, what's gone before, the austerity years from 2010 onwards. It's been a tough time for the sectors in which our members work, and it's been a dreadful time for for pay and wages and standard of living as well. So, yeah, we broadly welcome it. We think it's a step in the right direction.
Amazing.
And an important change of direction as well.
Well, shall we dive into some of the specifics of the things that you were referring to as part of the budget, some of the key changes that people within your unions will welcome with open arms? I would assume the living wage and the rise to living wage was one thing that got a green light from people at Unison.
Absolutely. And we feel really passionately about the minimum wage. It is a policy that both Unison's forerunner unions, we came about through a merger of a number of unions in the 90s, but the forerunner unions and Unison were real champions of the national minimum wage and campaigned throughout I guess the 20-year period leading up to its introduction for it to be introduced, because for lots of our members, many low-paid and particularly low-paid women workers, collective bargaining wasn't working for them in the public sector. Their pay always got left behind, including during the winter of discontent way back in the 70s. So, we always saw it as something that our union, our members could take great pride in, that they campaigned for it to come about. So what we heard from Rachel Reeves last week felt like a further step on that journey, following to give them their due, the welcome changes that the Conservatives introduced to further the policy along, setting a formula which gave us a minimum wage which this year reached two-thirds of the median hourly pay, really good. And this next step is obviously to link that formula now to the cost of living, so the rate goes up to £12.21 from April next year, and importantly for some of your listeners, a big increase for young workers as well, with the rate for 18 to 20 year olds going up to £10 an hour, which is a really hefty increase. And a person aged between 18 and 20 will potentially be £1,400 a year better off if they work a full time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this was with the objective, as Labour have announced, of combining the entire two age groups together within the near future. Yeah. They're bringing them closer together for now, but overall they're looking for a minimum wage for adults being over 18 years old, to, I suppose, stop having this difference between an 18 or a 19-year-old and a 21-year-old entering the workforce, because ultimately an adult is an adult.
Exactly. You don't do any less work if you're 18 years old. You don't work less hard.
No, absolutely not. And I suppose with the impending rise to student tuition fees, which are coming any time now, apparently, I suppose you're going to have more 18, 19, 20-year-olds choosing to go straight into the workforce rather than to go to university. So I think this is a welcome policy change from them. However, some small businesses are reportedly saying that this increase in minimum wage obviously puts more pressure on their industries, especially the leisure industry, I think, and the hospitality industry, that do have a lot of, I suppose, employees that come in and work on minimum wage. And they're saying this could lead to layoffs, closures, reduced hires. What's your response to that claim from small businesses?
Well, I think for small businesses, there are further measures within the budget that would help small businesses deal, particularly with the national insurance contribution increases. But on the increase in the national minimum wage, national living wage, I think you've got to look at it both ways. I mean, they might be paying out more in pay, but the more young people have got money in their pockets, the more likely they are to go out and spend money in bars and cafes and restaurants, parts of the leisure industry. So I think they've got to look at the big picture rather than just look at it purely in terms of the bottom line from April. As they look at costs, they've got to look at the benefits as well, I would say.
Absolutely. Were there any other policy changes in particular that you were very happy to see on the day?
Yeah, we obviously liked the extra money for public services.
Yes, so a big increase in spending.
Yeah, absolutely, a huge increase. 2% a year for the duration of the parliament looks good. The extra money for the NHS, the 20 odd billion. More for the NHS, very, very significant indeed. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the government have got targets there for more operations and for increased investment in NHS infrastructure, more beds, more treatment centres and so on. We obviously welcome that. Our members work in all parts of the NHS, but are also, they and their families use the NHS as well. So we welcome that a lot. And other parts of the public sector are getting a big uplift as well. Our greatest concern, I guess, is around local government. So there is extra money for local government, which will help a lot, will alleviate pressures. But because we've had this very lengthy period of cuts, and local government is one of those areas where it's easier to cut because it's not as glamorous and as in the public eye as the NHS, so it's been relatively easy politically for the previous Tory government to make cuts there.
Absolutely.
So the extra money there is good, but we'll need more, and that goes for other sectors.
I was going to say, what are things that you would hope for to see in future budgets? So what are things that you are still campaigning for actively with the government, or things you are slightly disappointed to not have seen in this year's budget from Labour?
Well, I think. All the analysis suggests that we get a bit of a sugar rush. We get the couple of years when it will be quite apparent that there is lots and lots of new money, but it's what happens thereafter. And when we look back to the period from 1997 to 2010, when the government changed, what we had there was consistent commitment to funding public services, and that's what we want to see in the future. And I guess we wouldn't be too critical of the government for not setting out a path towards sustained investment over a period, because the time horizons aren't like that. But we will be looking to that spending review, which comes late next spring, for an indication that is something that they'll be ready to commit to.
Brilliant. Well, David, thank you so much for your time and for sharing everything. Is there anything, any note you'd want to leave our listeners with when it comes to the budget or elsewise?
Well, I guess just to flag, I think the OBR's growth forecasts were pretty depressing, really.
And good choice of words.
I think that Rachel Reeves and the government were probably quite frustrated that that was something that was seized upon. It was all this new investment, all this borrowing. But really, is that all it's going to do to growth? Well, actually, there is a lot more to come, and I think what we're going to see over the coming months, including the announcements that will come in the pension reforms that she's going to set out in November, plus the industrial strategy, and plus the all the stuff around skills. I think that does really suggest, you know, a fairly radical departure with what we've seen before. So I guess a closing statement from us is we really do welcome that, and we think it does set the UK on a different course, and that's very welcome indeed.
Brilliant, David. I always like it when someone ends on a positive note, so I appreciate that, and thank you for your time.
It's a pleasure to be here. Good luck.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. That was David from Unison, one of the largest unions in the UK. Now, it is time for some of the readers' questions. Every single week, you guys write in and you DM us at That Money Show on social media and you ask us a couple of your questions. So let's start with this one from Sally, who has asked, how do you get over the fear of investing? Do you want the easiest answer in the world, Sally? The answer is just start. Put away £1. Literally, that's it. There are platforms that allow you to invest with £1. Get used to the feeling of investing through money that means nothing to you. If you threw that away into a bin, you wouldn't care. And you can slowly, slowly grow from that. And question number two is, Harry, how do I build an emergency fund without it affecting my day-to-day life? Harry, just start small. Build it every single month. Put away something that doesn't affect your daily life every single month. And that is the only thing that you can really do to it. £100 a month until you got there. I mean, at the end of the day, it's for emergencies, which will massively affect your day-to-day life. So it's probably worth it in the end. Now, we do have some breaking news, and that is tuition fees are on the up. They have just been increased to £9,535. That is an increase of £285, or 3.1%, which is linked to inflation. And that, I believe, is the first rise of tuition fees in roughly 8 years, announced literally just now by Bridget Phillipson, the Secretary for Education. And I'm kind of interested in what the response is going to be. There is also changes to the maintenance loan, which is also rising by 3.1%, which I think is welcome news. I mean, that is something that probably requires a slightly higher change than has actually just been announced. Because inflation has been so drastic over the past few years that a lot of students are actually struggling to get by and would require quite a high maintenance loan. But that's an extra £414 on the maintenance loan that has just been announced literally this minute by Bridget Phillipson. So that is breaking news to bring to you. What are my overall thoughts and kind of responses to this? I think Timmy mentioned this earlier on in the show, and it's really, really important for students or people who are potentially going to be going to university to understand the difference between what you borrow and how you pay it back. Now, it is a debt at the end of the day. You are borrowing money and you owe it back. But the way that you pay it back slightly is styled more like a tax, because regardless of whether you owe the government £1 million or you owe them £100,000, you still pay back the same amount every single month. So should this increase in tuition fees put you off going to university? Well, firstly, it probably isn't as much as some people were concerned about this morning, seeing as the last time it went up, not the one that was from 9,000 to 9,250, but before that, it went from 3,000 to £9,000 in one jump. And that was insane. So when people say tuition fees are going to go up, they're probably, the original feeling was they are going to go up, if you know what I mean, a serious level. So to be linked to inflation isn't the worst case scenario, but I suppose no increase in fees to go to somewhere where you're trying to educate yourself is probably ever welcomed. But should this put you off university? No, in my opinion. If you are genuinely interested in going to university and you have a reason for it, whether it's because of a vocation or because of a life experience or because of any other reason, this announcement today should not be the reason why you do not go to university. Just make sure that you study and understand the way that you're going to pay it back and why it acts more like a tax than it does a debt. Hopefully that kind of calms you down a little bit with this announcement. Like I said, whilst it's not something that I would have wanted to happen, it is the reality that at some point tuition fees were going to go up again, and today happens to have been that day. So I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but hopefully, like I said, rather than panic, you can take this into your strides and understand and become more educated around personal finance. Bloody hell, what a show. Have we ever done live reactions during a show? I mean, that news was meant to come out roughly, well, now 40 minutes ago. So I'm really glad, A, that it did come out during the show, so we were able to kind of share that with you live action. I feel like a live BBC reporter right now. But at the same time, sorry to be the bearer of bad news. I do thoroughly apologise. But I hope you have enjoyed this week's show. We have literally covered every aspect of personal finance thanks to the budget that was announced last week by Rachel Reeves, the first budget from Labour in 14 years. And not just that, the first budget to ever be read out and announced and made by a female chancellor, which I think is huge news and huge strides. And I think that was something that when I spoke to Rachel Reeves a few weeks ago, she was hugely proud of. And I feel like it has gone under the radar slightly because of the immense changes that she actually went and implemented. I mean, it's been a monumental budget. But hopefully this week's show has broken it down a little bit for you. You're aware of some of the policies. You actually understand them now. And you are, you know, generally able to react and study them a little bit more for yourself so you understand how they will be affecting you, because whether you like it or not, they will be affecting everyone. I know that the national insurance was put on employers, but it will be passed on to employees, and it's important for us to know that. A quick thank you to everyone that joined us this week. We had Timmy Merriman Johnson, aka Mr. Manager. We had David from Unison. We had Adam French, the senior editor at NerdWallet. And we had me, That Money Guy, coming to you live every single week. This has been That Money Show. I have been That Money Guy, and you are now officially better with your money. Catch you next week.